It's a privilege and honor to present to you our first speaker, Future Priest Nabaya.
Shalom, everyone. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. You may be seated. Today I will be speaking about blessings and curses. In the August 2013 Prophetic Word magazine, on page 5, it says, just listening diligently and observing Yahweh's laws brings blessings. Breaking them brings curses to the body, mind, land, and waters. All life on earth, in the earth, and above the earth are affected by mankind's unlawful activities. Yes, even our children carry curses caused by our sins. And we know that all these curses are caused by sin. STDs are one of the curses caused by sin. The major religions of the United States teach the people to sin. The religions of the world say you do not need to keep those old laws, that Jesus did it all for you. Sin is the cause of defilement, sickness, and disease. After the STDs are made, they don't just stay in the bodies of mankind. They also defile the earth, water, and air necessary to produce food for man, beast, and even fish and vegetation in our water sources. Few people know that STDs are the cause of the droughts we are experiencing now. Just ask yourself, what causes climate change? What causes the children to be born deformed? What causes Ebola to affect humans? It is sin. You'll turn over to Yochanan. First Yochanan 3 verse 4. First Yochanan 3 4. It's on page 965. It says, whoever commits sin transgresses also the law, for sin is a transgression of the law. Sin is the breaking of Yahweh's laws and will not be in the soon coming kingdom. Perfect unity with the one saint, Yisrael Hawkins, will bring you to perfect peace and health. My last scripture, if you can turn over to Deuteronomy 28, verse 4. Deuteronomy 28, verse 4. It says, blessed will be the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, the young of your livestock, the calves of your herds, and the lambs of your flock. So in conclusion, I'd like to encourage you to keep Yahweh's laws so you will receive blessings, not curses. And without, like, turn over to Future Priest Deacon Shlomo for prayer.
And at this time, if you'd remain standing, I'd like to introduce our first speaker, our great Deacon Melchizedek Hawkins.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Today, I would like to speak on, we have to be loyal in order to be royal. Now, I'm going to start off, and loyal means faithful to one's oath. Now, does everyone remember the oath that we took whenever we got our ear awled? It was, do you love the house of Yahweh more than all else? And it also means commitment and obligation. Now, that was from www.dictionaryreference.com. Now, in the scriptures, we see people that were loyal to Yahweh and to Yahweh, like Yahshua and Abraham. And let's start off by going to page 20. Page 20, it's Genesis 26. Let's start off on verse 4. And I will make your seed multiply as the stars of heaven. I will give to your seed all of these lands, and in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. In verse 5 it says, because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. So, also, that was the example there, and you can see, also, Yahweh called Abraham his friend. Also in Matithiah 3. And this is whenever Yahshua was baptized. It says, it starts off on verse 13. When Yahshua came from Galilee to the Jordan to Yochanan to be baptized by him. Verse 14 says, but Yochanan protested to him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? But Yahshua answered, saying to him, allow this now, for this is proper for us, to fulfill all righteousness. Then it was permitted him. Then Yahshua, when he was baptized, went up out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened to him. And he perceived by a revelation the Spirit of Yahweh descending and entering into him. Then, lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, who I am well pleased with. So Yahweh said that he was well pleased with Yahshua. And so if we could turn over to 2 Timothy. This reminds me of a scripture, 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 2, verses 3 through 4. It says, you must therefore suffer hardships with me as a loyal soldier of Yahshua Messiah. No one in range in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, so that he may please the one who has sent him to be a soldier. So it says that we must suffer these hardships. And during these hardships, we must be loyal to the one sent. Now, Jonathan was loyal to David. And whenever Saul was Jonathan's father, and whenever Saul was trying to kill David, he wasn't persuaded to that. He stayed loyal to David. If we could turn over to 1 Samuel 20. 1 Samuel 20. It's found on page 240. 1 Samuel 20, and it starts off on verse 4. Then Jonathan said to David, "Whatever you want, I will do it for you." Then verse 41, it says, "And as soon as the boy left, David rose up from his hiding place towards the south and fell down in front of Jonathan and bowed three times with his face to the ground. Then they kissed each other and they wept, but David wept the most. Then Jonathan said to David, "Go in peace, for we have vowed an oath with the name of Yahweh, saying, 'Yahweh is between you and me, and between your descendants and my descendants forever.'" So he rose up and left, and Jonathan went back to his city. So, in the building moral excellence, if you have one, you can go over to page 20. Page 20, and it says, it's all the list of the positive character traits, and one of them is loyalty. Loyalty is sincerity, faithfulness, devotion, and a commitment to a person or cause. And then on the next page, on page 21, it says loyalty. The ability to faithfully commit oneself to a person or cause is important to the development of a positive character. When you are loyal to a cause, you are willing to stand firm on your beliefs. You will also put sincere effort into promoting its success. However, you must be careful that in an effort to fit in, you are not mislingled or deceived about what and who you should be loyal to. For example, every year, thousands of children become members of gangs. They are loyal to the gang rules, even if they promote hatred, aggression, theft, and violence. So be careful. There are many things you can be loyal to. In developing a positive character, commit yourself to being loyal to moral principles. So that's a great example there of loyalty. And we have to be loyal with a sincere heart. I have a poem. It's, "If we are loyal, a royal priesthood we will become. But we have to be in unity, and together we must come. Remember, 3 out of 4 will fall away. Let us not be some of those. Let us be part of the priesthood so Yahshua can hum. Come in unity, don't be dumb. Otherwise, we will pay a sum." And now, also, in the song, "The Purple Belongs to One Royal Family," it says, "Purple is the rank and character of Yahweh's kings and queens, the royal position of Yahweh's great kingdom." And then later on, whenever a pastor is speaking, he says, "I classify you as purple, as loyal and as royal, with pure hearts as transparent gold. So there will never be sin nor sorrow because you follow me strictly with all body and soul." Praise Yahweh. And if we could all turn over to Hebrews. Hebrews 10, it's verse 22. It says, "Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." Let's turn over to Titus for my last scripture. Titus 2. All right, Titus 2 and it's verse 7. It says, "In all things, setting yourself as the example for righteous works, in doctrine, showing incorruptibility, gravity, and sincerity." And so we should set ourselves as an example, it says, for righteous works, and we should be loyal to the one sent. And Also, for my 2 Timothy 2, and it's verse 3-4. It says, "You must therefore suffer hardships with me as a loyal soldier of Yahshua Messiah. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself of the affairs of this life, so that he may please the one who has sent him to be a soldier." And with that, everyone please stand. And I have the privilege and an honor to introduce to you the great Kahan Yehuda. Praise Yahweh.
I'm going to give you the name or title of this sermon. You can take your pick from which of these two. One of them is "Certain Names Can Get You Killed." That's the quick, short version. Or "Sticks and Stones May Break Your Bones, But Names Can Get You Killed." Over the 35 years I have been in service here, I have seen many things. And I have seen a lot of really strange things that people say. Most of the time it's from somebody that never came here or somebody who doesn't want to come here and plans to leave. We have heard things like, "Show me that El and Elohim are Hebrew, are not Hebrew, and I will return. I know the Messiah's name is Yahshua, but Jesus Christ means the same thing and is just as acceptable, so I will stay with that. Or prove to me that Yahweh can't be called Lord or God, and I will be the first one to come in the next time you open your doors." I like that one. We're still waiting for that guy, by the way. The thing I'm saying about it is there is a real problem with this in the fact that there are many people do not want to let these names go, and these names can get you killed. This is not a game here. So the point I'm trying to make, we need to consider these things and do something about it, and the time is short. We should have been doing it yesterday, we should be doing it today, and Yahweh wants us to do it forever. And if it's not forever, I don't think any one of us here should want it at all. But we're going to go over some of these things so that there is no question about these things, because this is really bad. The sadness of it all, these people that are doing this, they're terribly misguided. They're either pressured by husbands or wives or children or other rebellious family members, or there's just something they just can't get bring themselves to let go. Or sometimes it's just something they just don't want to do. And then there's such foolishness called pride that goes along too. But let's go. The word "Lord" that is written in Bibles as a name of the Creator is translated from 4 Hebrew letters. The letter Yod, English Y, the letter He, English H, the letter Waw, not V or Vaw, Waw, W, and the letter He, letter H, which comprise the Hebrew name of the Creator, better known in Greek as the Tetragrammaton, the four-letter name. This name is listed on page 161 of volume 9 of the Jewish Encyclopedia by Isidore Singer and Marcus Jastrow, which along with a Hebrew and English lexicon of the Old Testament by Brown, Driver, and Briggs, page 217, they show this name is and has to be the name that is pronounced Yahweh. It can't be anything else. It is Yahweh. Dr. Singer goes on to show that scribes called the Masoretes then added the vowels of the words Adonai, Lord, and El or Elohim, God, we're going to talk about them some, to the Hebrew letters of the name Yahweh so that these two words would be pronounced anywhere the name of Yahweh was written in the Holy Scriptures. From this, Dr. Singer says, came the words Lord, God, and Jehovah. that appear as supposed names of the Creator in English translations of the Holy Scriptures. But the words Adonai, El, and Elohim, are they even Hebrew words at all? And this is what those who oppose using the name Yahweh try to hold on to. They will tell you, if you run into them in the store, in the street, show me these aren't Hebrew words. What do you think we've been doing for 36 years? The answer to that question is no, they are not. And anybody in their right mind would know this. The Dictionary of Mythology by J.A. Coleman, pages 21 and 22 and 106, shows that Adonai and its root Adon were the names of a Canaanite fertility god who was worshipped by the Syrians and Babylonians as Adon, by the Etruscans as Tammuz, and by the Phrygians as Attis, by the Greeks as Adonis or Adonis, the brother or husband of the goddess Astarte, and by the Egyptians as a sun god. A Dictionary of Mythology by J.A. Coleman, also page 323, shows that El and Elohim are the name of the supreme god of the Canaanites, the very people that were told by the children of Israel to move out of their land. And El and Elohim married a Canaanite goddess named Asherah, and had over 70 children by her, from which Adad, Anobret, Etak, Keret, Mot, the universal word for death, every word for death comes from it except the English word death. Mot, Muerte, and I believe it is Portuguese and Spanish. Mortos, in some dialects of Italian, I know. It also... we get the word murder from it. There are others. Baal, the Lord, the Canaanite word for Lord, they are all well known. The thing of it is, this god named El or Elohim was depicted as a bull or wearing the horns of a bull. History does not support, I mean, the historians know that the people who came out of Egypt, led by Moshe and the prophets, Yahshua the son of Nun is one of the great leaders, and others, they knew that Lord God and Elohim and El were not acceptable to use for Yahweh or instead of Yahweh either. We know now and have known for a long time that anything to do with El or Elohim, Lord or God, is nothing but pagan god worship, and is devil worship in its strongest way. We have taught that. We have a book about it, Devil Worship, The Shocking Facts. If you don't believe this, or if you need to get, refreshed on it, get that book out and read it. These are all names or titles taken right out of the detestable religious practices of the Canaanites. But history itself tells us the true followers of Yahweh never allowed this type of heresy and paganism among their own. Harper's Bible Dictionary by Madeline and J. Lane Miller, 1961 printing, page 154, says this: El, Canaanite, the God, Elohim, plural of Canaanite El. When waves of Hebrews migrated into Palestine, and we're talking about the area where Israel is today, from Mesopotamia in the patriarchal age around the 20th to 19th centuries BCE, they found the Canaanites worshiping El, the god, the god, generally a shadowy figure like Sumero-Akkadian Anu, god of heaven, or Egyptian Ra, the sun god, and a storm god's son named Shaddai. You heard of El Shaddai? You better not use it. It took several generations for heathen beliefs to be weeded out from Israel's religious life and a true Yahweh faith established. Even as late as the days of the kings, apostasies were rampant. And they give 1 Kings chapter 11, verses 5 through 8, if you'd like to put it in your notes. These were protested by Hebrew prophets until the carrying away to Babylon in the 6th century BCE. Backsliding was all the easier because the Hebrews lived among the Canaanites. You're supposed to be among them, yes, that occurs. You're not supposed to be of them. Harper's Bible Dictionary by Paul Ochtemeyer, page 1985 printing, page 253 states, "The accommodation of the worship of El and Elohim by the Yahweh faith was a remarkable occurrence, for Israel was as a rule hostile to the cults of the Canaanite gods and goddesses." They call us a cult, and the historians know they are the cult, not us. The supremacy of El and Elohim in the native religions of Palestine made this attractive. It was is even proposed that Yahweh was no more than a special name of El and Elohim. Now that is really great, isn't it? I wonder who came up with that one. Whatever the cause of the identification, it provides a striking contrast to the conflict between the Yahweh faith and that of its neighbors. What all this shows is this. It is a known fact that the true followers of Yahweh never had anything to do with Lord God, Adonai, or El, or Elohim. They know that all these words, names, and titles are and were of Satan and totally against Yahweh. We must be of the same mind. And we must be, because this is what the prophets, apostles, and Yahshua Messiah all taught. They know and saw and knew and saw firsthand that Lord God, Adonai, El, and Elohim are nothing but Satan worship, pure and simple. And they said so. These men of Yahweh, all sent by Yahweh, as even history itself shows, oppose this Satan worship of Lord God Adonai, El, and Elohim. Many of these men, like Isaiah, Yahshua, Messiah, and Kippa, and Shaul, lost their lives because they would not give in to this temptation. Turn in your first scripture on page 951 to Hebrews chapter 11, verses 36 through 40. This is how serious it got. And listen to the last scripture, because it talks about you after it talks about history. The first scriptures, 35 through 39, talks about history. Verse 40 is talking about you making history. Verse 35, "Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourging, yes, and of chains and of imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawed in two, were tested, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute." In other words, they were broke, no money. "Afflicted, tormented, cruelly treated, of whom the world was not worthy." Because Yahshua said, if you hang on to these things, you are not worthy of me. "They wandered in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, having obtained a righteous report through the faith, have not received the promise." Here you are. Yahweh having provided some better thing for us, that they without us would not be made perfect. If you don't get rid of these lords, gods, elves, Elohim, Jesus' churches, and Christ's, you're holding up the show. Pure and simple. But the point is, we have the proof that El, Adonai, Elohim, Lord, God, are bad. They're of Satan. But let's go on another tack here for a minute. Now remember, I'm not saying these words are acceptable. The word Adonai means Lord and is admitted to have been substituted for the name Yahweh as a lingua sacra by David Levi, a rabbi who lived in the 17th century in England, around 1652 CE, on page, in volume 1, this is a big book, it's got 4,000 pages. Volume 1, page 72 in PDF format, it shows. And if you look at the, if you look at it, we need one. We need one on the thing. It says, if you see it there, this is Dr. Levi, one. It means Lord and Master, but looky here. Look what it says. Adonai. The second is that which is substituted by the Jews for Jehovah. We know that's Yahweh. And wherever the name Jehovah occurs, it is read Adonai. You can't be any plainer than that. And this is not the house of Yahweh saying this. This is people that are worshiping rabbis that said this. One who is a rabbi himself. The word El is listed on page 44 of a complete Hebrew and English critical and pronouncing dictionary by William L. Roy, which shows this word is correctly pronounced Yil, Y-L, or A-Y-L, and it is not El, pronounced El. You don't say it. In other words, is you don't say Israel, you say Yisrael, just like we've been doing for 36 years. And is correctly translated when it means the Creator is the eternal Father who possesses all power in heaven and in earth. And there it is. See it for yourself. The word God there, we know that's Yahweh. It says, the eternal Father who possesses all power in heaven and earth. What's more, there is a scripture in Genesis that ties. This is, okay, if you'll notice also, furthermore, it shows that El, look what it says it there. Almighty, omniscient, omnipresent, pure and perfect being, who preserves and governs all things, the self-existent, unoriginated, independent, and eternal Yahweh, who has produced all things. And look at his scripture, Revelation 1, verse 8. Now, this is really big. Turn to Genesis 1, 27. Now, we know this scripture is correctly translated. So Yahweh created mankind in his own image. In the image of Yahweh, he created the man. Then he created the woman from the man. Now, if you'll look at Genesis 1:27, this is the interlinear Hebrew Bible by John Kohlenberger, volume 1, page 3. The NIV, okay, that's a long word. The NIV interlinear Hebrew English Old Testament by John Kohlenberger III, volume 1, page 3. You'll notice he has Yahweh and God. If you'll notice, right there where he's got that, right after the word Elohim or God, you see a little two-letter word, Aleph Tau. And notice he has no translation for it. Does anybody know why? Dr. Roy, we talked to, that pointed out that El and Elohim means Yahweh and refers to Revelation 1 verse 8. He probably could sense there was something about this. Does anybody have any idea why that letter, that little word there is there? It is an Atbash code, Aleph Tau, the first one. It's the Atbash code. This Atbash code shows there is a tie-in with other scriptures with this code. And now we're going to go to the big one. Turn to Revelation 1 verse 8. What we saw here was the Atbash code. This is the explanation of this code by the Hebrew Aramaic English Dictionary by Marcus Jastrow, page 131 of volume 1. This is an Atbash code. It shows you this is linking other important prophetic scriptures to this code. And look at Revelation 1 verse 8 on page 971. The Atbash code, remember, Aleph Tau in Genesis 1:27. Now we know that should be, remember the word Elohim, Dr. Roy just said that means Yahweh, the eternal Father. But look at the Atbash code. It says Aleph Tau. Turn to Revelation 1 verse 8 on page 971. This is the Aleph Tau Atbash code, where Yahweh says, I am Aleph and Tau. There's your code. The beginning and the end, says Yahweh, who is, who was, and who is to come, your Father in heaven. So this is the actual message of Genesis 1:27. So Father Yahweh created mankind in his own image. in the image of Father Yahweh, who is, who was, and who will always be. He created man. Thus he created the woman from the man. Makes it a lot different, doesn't it? And got more emphasis. So there you have it. The Atbash codes clearly show the New Testament is linked to the Torah, the Holy Scriptures, the Old Testament. The Atbash code shows that it is Yahweh, not some pre-existent Yahshua or Jesus or anyone else, who is, who was, who will always be. No one can say the New Testament and the Old Testament are opposites. To hear the churches tell it, the Old Testament has been done away with by the New Testament. Not so. They are one testament. From the first letter of the first word of Genesis to the last letter of the last word of Revelation. Because not one of these scriptures contradicts the other. Otherwise, Yahweh would be the most confused, disunified, unified being you'd ever heard of. And we know that's not so. And as Dr. Roy and Marcus Jastrow, who had a doctorate, also shows, no one can now say anything like this. And this means also that scriptures like Exodus 20 verse 2 on page 61 are correctly translated when these scriptures say, I am Yahweh, your heavenly Father, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And not like it's written in Bibles, I am the Lord, thy God, which hath taken thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the land of bondage. Or I am Yahweh, thy Elohim, which hath brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the land of bondage. So the point is, even if those words were acceptable, using them the way they are being used is an incorrect translation and a violation of the law of Yahweh. And the great scholars in the Christian church know it. They say so, like Marcus Barth and others. The name Jesus is the actual English translation of the Greek name Jesus. It is written iota, eta, sigma, omicron, upsilon, sigma in Greek. And it's listed on page 824 of a Greek and English lexicon by Liddell and Scott, 1996 printing. You'll notice there it says Jesus. It says Jesus. But notice what it also says. Look down there. It says Yahshua in English, Joshua. The problem is this Greek word, Jesus, which is translated Jesus in English, shows to be a form of the name Yaso. I-A-S-O, iota, alpha, sigma, omicron, or this omega, sorry, omega. This name is an ancient Greek goddess of healing. And this name, Yaso, is shown here from page 816 of a Greek-English lexicon by Liddell and Scott, 1996 printing. If you'll notice the spellings on it, notice, if you see Jesus up there, iota, eta, sigma, omicron, sigma, upsilon, sigma, that's what I forgot to use. If you'll notice, Yaso is spelled iota, alpha, sigma, omega. Or it is spelled iota, eta, sigma, I-H-S, omega, O. But then it shows that syllable O can be O-U-S. So you're right back to the Jesus, Jesus. It was the name of a female goddess. It was not the name of a man. This female goddess had five or six brothers and sisters, and I put this from the Wikipedia from the web so you could see it. Notice this name as a name. If you notice that Yaso is supposed to be spelled iota, alpha, sigma, omega. But the Ionian Greeks and others wrote it iota, eta, sigma, omega, or iota, eta, sigma, omicron, upsilon, sigma. Jesus, which they translated Jesus. It's right there. You can see it. All you've got to do is look at it. Look, and it'll show. Why did they do this? Were they hoping nobody would figure this out? No. They hoped they didn't, but they forgot. The house of Yahweh is the pillar and ground of the truth. 1 Timaeus 3:15. And Yahshua said to the house of Yahweh, You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And that's what it's all about. It's a simple fact that Jesus clearly is the English translation of the name of an ancient Greek goddess of healing named Yasso or Jesus. And they don't want you to know this. What about Christ? The word Christ comes from the Greek word Christos. And it's just as bad. The Encircled Serpent by M.O. Filhoe, page 19, shows the word Christ was a name or title of the ancient Egyptian snake god Kenif, who was worshipped as a sun god. They loved that sun. Mr. Hoey says on page 19 of his book, as a solar deity, Kenif became the Christos of the Gnostics. He is intimately connected with the seven sons of Aditi, universal wisdom, her eighth son being Martanda, the sun, while the seven are the seven genii, or geniuses, or rulers of the planets. I guess they really thought they were some really smart boys. You've heard the word wise guy? Is where it came from. Kenif was regarded as the spiritual son of enlightenment, of wisdom, and was therefore the patron of all initiates of Egypt, as was Baal Moroduk at a later period was with the Chaldeans, better known as the Babylonians or the Iraqis today. Like it or not, anyone who loves or worships or reveres Jesus Christ is worshiping a female goddess who holds the title originally given to an Egyptian snake god. I would have to dare say you've heard of Medusa. How those snakes coming out of her head. If you go to Mardi Gras or one of those other festivals around the world, you see people dressed like that. This is where all this is coming from. No one should really have to tell you who the real snake is. But if you haven't figured that out, or if you want to be refreshed in your memory, write down Revelation 12:8-10, and you will know who Yahweh says is the real snake. Brothers and sisters, it is these abominations and these abominable names that move the prophets, Yahshua, Messiah, and the apostles to warn that the scribes and translators would do the very thing we talked about. They would remove the name Yahweh and supplant it with either other words in Hebrew, or they would even just reach out there. Oh, that El and Elohim over there in that church, that sounds nice. We'll use it. Oh, the Greeks, they got Adonis. Yeah, we'll use that too. After all, we want to be universal, don't we? And so it goes. The point is, even if these words were acceptable, the scripture tells you it's unlawful to change things. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 8 on page 580 of your book of Yahweh. Page 580. Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 8 on page 580 in your book of Yahweh. Page 580. The prophets lambasted this practice of substituting other words. In the Talmud, Tractate Pesachim, page 50b, they even admit they took out one letter of one single word so it changed the spelling so they could say the name Yahweh is lawfully to be hidden. They admit it. That's how bad it got out there. And Jeremiah and other writers, and apostles too, they had something else to say about this that totally is different. How can you say we are the wise and the law of Yahweh is with us? Behold, the lying pen of the scribes has falsified them and written them wrong. They sure did. They vowel-pointed Yahweh and made it where you and I would read God or Lord, Adonai or Elohim. They did that to men who had named Yahweh, like Netanyahu. Yeshua instead of Yahshua. Yezu, Jesus. It's all part of the master plan. And everybody knows who the real master is. Okay, turn to Yochanan Mark. We're going into the other side. Page 767. Yochanan Mark, chapter 7, verses 7 through 9. Page 767. They have no right to use these names. Their names are pagan gods. But even if they were acceptable Hebrew words, they are the wrong translation. They made the translation a lie by doing it. None of these excuses hold water. And they can't hold water enough to even water a yard or a garden in a rainstorm. Yochanan Mark, chapter 7, verses 7 through 9. Verse 7. But in vain do they worship me, teaching in doctrine the commandments of men. Oh, yes. Tradition. Rabbi so-and-so said. That's the end of it. For laying aside the commandments of Yahweh. Yes. Put down that Torah. You need to study the oral law. By word of mouth? Yes. I thought that was called gossip. You hold the traditions of men. Then he said to them, how well you reject the commandment of Yahweh that you may keep your own tradition. Brothers and sisters, there's a reason the prophets Jeremiah and Yahshua Messiah were so concerned with this. It is because they knew Yahweh's law. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 2 on page 149. Let's get serious here. Page 149. Page 149. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 2, page 149. You shall not add to the word which I command you, nor shall you take anything from it, so that you may keep the commandments of Yahweh your Father, which I command you. The Talmud admits they took single letters out of words, respelling words to make them another word, to justify hiding the name. They vow appointed key names like Yahweh and the names of righteous men, putting vow pointing on Ilya's name, so it was Eliyahu. Turn to 158, just across, just a couple of pages over. Deuteronomy 12, verse 32. Yahshua knew these laws, and he made it quite clear. You're going to keep these laws. He said, any man who fails to keep these laws and tells someone to do likewise will have no part in the kingdom of Yahweh that is to come. Matitya 5, verse 20. If you want the full text, it's Matitya 5, verses 17 through 20. And he said, don't act like the Sadducees and the Pharisees. Deuteronomy 12, verse 32. Deuteronomy 12, verse 32. Whatsoever I command you, be careful to observe and do it. You shall not add to it nor take away from it. The prophets and Yahshua Messiah knew that not translating words in Scripture the way those words should have been translated is breaking Yahweh's law. It is hiding Yahweh's name, for one, and a sin that will come back to those who do this, and those who accept and want to hang on to these incorrect translations, they will end up being damned. They won't be here long if they even get there. But it doesn't end there. The largest number of those who worship El, Elohim, Lord God, Jesus Christ, or Jesus Christ, or those who want to hang on to all these falsehoods, even have a special name or title for their congregation and buildings. It's the most popular name I've ever heard. They name their congregations this. They name their places of worship this. They name an entire government and international institution this. That name or title is the English word church. The English word church is listed on page 324 of Webster's New 20th Century Dictionary of the English Language, unabridged. And pages 402 and 403 of volume C of the Oxford English Dictionary, which shows this word traces back to the Anglo-Saxon or ancient German and the Old English word kirka. They pronounce it Circe a lot. But it originally was pronounced kirka or kirk. The Latin word Circe or kirka is listed on page 4 of plates 334 of a new Latin dictionary by Andrews, Lewis, and Short, which shows this word is the name of a goddess who is the daughter of a sun god. Now, the Women's Encyclopedia of Myths and Secrets by Barbara Walker, page 168, then shows this name, Circe, or Kirka, properly pronounced, from which came the word church, was a Homeric witch able to transform men into sacrificial swine, and from Kirka came the Latin word circus, an enclosure for games associated with death, like the gladiator games where men fought to the death as a sport. In fact, when a gladiator game commenced, the combatants would always stand and salute an official who was in charge, saying, "Hail, whoever your name was. We who are about to die salute you." Therefore, the word church is really as pagan and more so evil, whatever you want to call it, even than El, Elohim, Lord, God, Jesus Christ, or Jesus Christ, because it is the name of a goddess who turned her devotees into swine and a name of the arena where the blood sport of gladiator games was conducted, where the combatants offered their very lives as a sacrifice to the gods. Die, my blood is offered to thee, O Zeus. And so it goes. As I said, no man or woman in their right mind would want to have anything to do with or be a part of El, Elohim, Lord God, Jesus Christ, Christ, or Jesus Christ, the name, or even church. Nobody would. And remember this. Many of you lived in cities where the newspaper used to say, I think it was usually the Saturday newspaper, wasn't it? Maybe the Sunday, or maybe both. They would say, worship at the church of your choice. They were really telling you to worship at the hog farm of your choice. And the thing of it is, the holy men of Yahweh knew this and they wrote about it. Turn to Proverbs 26, verse 11 on page 513. Proverbs 26, 11, verse 11 of 513. Page 513. Page 513. Proverbs 26, verse 11. Page 513, brothers and sisters. Now, it's a little gross, so be understanding. Like a dog returning to its vomit is a fool returning to his folly. Do you get what they're saying here? If you hang on to these things, they consider it to be worse than sewage. They make it look like it's the most horrid thing you could think of. The Apostle Kefa lays this on the line. Turn to 2 Kefa 2, verses 20 through 22 on page 962. Page 962. Because this is more serious than you think, hanging on to these things. Because these people not only hang on to these things, they hang on to such things as eating unclean foods. They hang on to going to the store and buying store-bought cow's milk or store-bought beef or store-bought this or that. I'm talking about from animals that are known to be in danger of having deadly diseases like even possibly Ebola. I'm saying possibly, but for sure, Creutzfeldt-Jakob and mad cow disease. But Kefa pointed out, he said, this is how bad it is. Starting with verse 20, now if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of Yahweh and the Savior Yahshua Messiah, they are again entangled in them. Why would anybody want to go back to that? Like Pastor said, Yahweh called you to his house, don't turn back. He said it. But they do. They do turn back. And they're overcome by them. I know some have died because of it, because of the garbage they put in themselves. And the latter end is worse than the beginning. And we'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute. For it would have been better for them to not have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandments delivered to them. There has befallen them the thing spoken in the true proverb, a dog returns to its own vomit. And a sow, a female hog, is washed in the water, only to wallow again in the mud or mire. There's another old saying too. It says, you are what you eat. Now that can be ominous because it's true. To many, this saying makes no sense, but when you look at the Holy Scriptures, you will find it is absolutely true. Please take your books of Yahweh or your scriptures and turn to Isaiah 65, verses 3 and 4 on page 570. Page 570 in your book of Yahweh. Page 570. A people who provoke me to anger continually to my face, who sacrifice in gardens and burn incense on altars of brick, which remain among the graves and lodge in the monuments, which eat swine's flesh and broth of abominable things is in their vessels. You've heard it gets into your blood. Absolutely, it sure does. The words who provoke me to anger that are written in Isaiah 65 verse 3 are translated from the Hebrew word, let's see, it's hamakoesim. This word is listed on page 656 of volume 1 of the Hebrew Aramaic English Dictionary by Marcus Jastrow, which shows this word means to act defiantly against, to rebel. The word in that is in the phrase sacrifice in gardens that is written in Isaiah 65 verse 3 is translated from the Hebrew preposition ba. This word is listed on page 56 of the Analytical Hebrew and Chaldee Lexicon by Benjamin Davidson, which shows this word means to. The word gardens that is written in Isaiah 65 verse 3 is translated from the Hebrew word gabarim. There it is, yod mim, gabarim. This word is listed on page 1216 of a Hebrew and Chaldee lexicon to the Old Testament by Julius First, which shows that word means to bury, to be buried, grave, sepulcher, in the earth, a rock, where the dead were laid. The words burn incense that are written in Isaiah 65 verse 3 are translated from the Hebrew root word tara, T-A-R-A-H. This word is listed on page 526 of a Hebrew and Chaldee lexicon by Julius First, which shows this word means to be young, a child. The words altars of brick that are written in Isaiah 65 verse 3 are translated from the Hebrew word halabanim. This word is listed on 726 of a Hebrew and Chaldee lexicon to the Old Testament by Julius First, which shows this word means the color of the leprosy. The word graves that is written in Isaiah 65 verse 4 is translated from the Hebrew word gabarim. This word is listed on page 1216 of a Hebrew and Chaldee lexicon to the Old Testament by Julius First, which shows this word means to seek the declarations about the future in the abode of demons. The word lodge that are written in Isaiah 65 verse 4 are translated from the Hebrew compound word yolino. This word is supposed to be two separate Hebrew words, yalin and u or wa, combined by the scribes and copyists into one word instead of two. The Hebrew word yalin is listed on page 796 of volume 2 of the New International Dictionary of Old Testament Theology and Exegesis by Willem van Gemeren, which shows this word means an erotic scene in which the lovers spend the night together away from home. The Hebrew word wa is listed on page 233 of the Analytical Hebrew and Chaldee Lexicon by Benjamin Davidson, which shows this word means because. The word monuments that is written in Isaiah 65 verse 4 is translated from the Hebrew word natsurim. This word is listed on page 944 of a Hebrew and Chaldee lexicon to the Old Testament by Julius First, which shows this word means watching, looking for the hearts, to win the hearts of youths or children. This is very serious. The Hebrew word farak that is listed in Isaiah 65 verse 4 for some reason was never translated. It's in there but never translated by the people who wrote the King James Version of the Bible and many other translations. This word is listed on pages 1238, 1239 of volume 2 of the Hebrew Aramaic English Dictionary by Marcus Jastrow, which with Isaiah 59 verses 1 and 2, letting scripture interpret scripture, show this word means to separate, to alienate, destined to die, your sins have separated you from Yahweh. The word and in the phrase and the broth of that is written in Isaiah 65 verse 4 is translated from the Hebrew conjunction wa. This word is listed on page 233 of the Analytical Hebrew and Chaldee Lexicon by Benjamin Davidson, which shows this word means because. We've had that a couple of times. The word broth that is written in Isaiah 65, verse 4, is translated from the Hebrew word marak. This word is listed on page 517 of the Analytical Hebrew and Chaldee Lexicon by Benjamin Davidson, and page 846 of volume 1 of the Hebrew Aramaic English Dictionary by Marcus Jastrow, which shows this word means broth, and he who prepares himself for a sinful act, who makes himself free from all other thoughts, devoting himself entirely to sin. The word abominable, come on, David, that is written in Isaiah 65, verse 4, is translated from the Hebrew word phagalim. This word is listed on page 1113 of a Hebrew and Chaldee lexicon to the Old Testament by Julius First, which shows this word means to make unclean, to make horrible, detestable food, what is unclean or forbidden. So this is what the scripture is saying. Verse 3. A people who continually act defiantly against me, to my face, who offer sacrifices to the dead and offer their children to deadly sexually transmitted diseases, which remain in the house of God, Elohim, the church, seeking declaration from demons. How many of you have gone to a charismatic meeting? People sitting back looking like this. Thus saith the Lord, blah, 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 blah. Return unto me and I'll return unto you. Didn't tell you where you're supposed to meet him, but you're supposed to return to him. About the future, and which look to win the hearts of children, that they may have sexual relations with them, which eat swine's flesh, devoted entirely to sin, all because the broth of detestable foods that are unclean and forbidden is in their vessels. If you eat pork and other unclean foods, or you go and get stuff that that pastor in the house has told you is not okay anymore, you become much like those animals. Any hunter, any farmer, any rancher will tell you a wild boar or even a domestic boar, even a wild or domestic sow, a female hog, can become very dangerous and is very deadly, especially when provoked. And it will attack without warning. And history shows that the most aggressive and violent people have been those who live in societies that religiously and legally permit and encourage the eating of pork and other unclean foods. Every pope from the year 1000 CE to 1945 CE, Ivan the Terrible, Vladimir the Impaler, Dracula, better known as Dracul, Hannibal, Joseph Stalin, Mao Zedong come to mind. Millions of people, millions, maybe billions, lost their lives at the hands of these monsters. And they all ate pork and condemned anybody who wouldn't. I saw a real example of this occur here in this area. I got a book a few years ago. It was called From Sinai to Calvary by a man named named Eckstein. His name was Stephen Eckstein was his name. He wrote this book in 1959. And he talks about how he lived. He came to the United States in about 1912 from the Russian territory of Latvia. Russia took over those three countries. They may be independent now. And he lived in the United States, and around 1920 or 1921, he converted to Christianity and joined the Church of Christ denomination of the Christian Church. In his autobiography, he talks about how after Sunday services one day, he was invited to Sunday dinner by some of the ladies in the church. So he agreed and went over there. And the lady told him, Brother Eckstein, don't worry. This is good beef. We know you do not eat pork. And the man, Eckstein, said, well, sister, I'm a Christian now. I can eat pork like anyone else. And then he writes in triumph, the next three Sundays, we had pork. Like he won a battle over someone. And then you hear the song, Oh, Victory in Jesus, all over again. For years, I, as a person, wondered why the Christian religion fought tooth and nail to hang on to their false gods, their special name for their places of meeting and worship, their churches, and their unclean foods like pork. I wonder why it was sort of a shout of victory whenever one of those converts left Judaism, Islam, or the others, and started eating pork. Now we know the reason why they are doing these things, and it's a prophecy that we just saw about 5 days ago. Turn to Daniel chapter 9, verse 27 on page 681. Turn to Daniel chapter 9, verse 27 on page 681. Page 681. Daniel 9, verse 27 on 681. And he will confirm a covenant with many for 1 week, 7 years, and in the midst of the week he will cause a sacrifice and the oblation to cease. Instead, he will cause a prevalence of the Lord of heaven even until the destruction that is determined will be poured out upon the desolator. The word prevalence that is written in Daniel 9:27 is translated from the Hebrew word kanaf. This word is listed on page 202 of the Student's Hebrew and Chaldee Dictionary to the Old Testament by Alexander Harkavy, which shows this word means a sexual connection, to receive a woman into one's bed, to remove the covering of one, to expose one's nakedness, to violate one's bed. The word Lord that is written in Daniel 9:27 is translated from the Hebrew word shikutzim. This word is listed on page 748 of the Student's Hebrew and Chaldee Dictionary to the Old Testament by Alexander Harkavy, which shows this word means to defile. The word heaven that is written in Daniel 9:27 is translated from the Hebrew word mashamam. This word is listed on page 723 of the Analytical Hebrew and Chaldee Lexicon by Benjamin Davidson, which shows this word is singular, one person, and is feminine. It is for a female and means heaven, to be high like a king or a queen. The Hebraic tongue restored shows this word on page 461 of part first, which shows this word means that which leaves its fear, gives way to pride, enters into madness. The inordinate idea of making oneself remarked. Ambition, that which troubles, upsets the mind. So this is what Daniel said, and it relates to eating pork and things like that. Because you know what? Satan eats pork. Don't let her ever fool you. She does. And it's messing her up just like it would mess you up. And that's exactly what was warning here. And he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week, 7 years. And in the midst of the week, he will cause a sacrifice and the oblation to cease. Instead, he will cause even until the destruction that is determined will be poured upon the desolator, the fornication and defilement with the queen of heaven, that one whose pride overcame her, causing her to go mad, to raise herself up, to give herself a name. And this is exactly what Revelation 17 verses 1 and 2 says, providing the testimony of two witnesses that Satan herself is destroying herself by hanging on to these names and this unclean food and this way of life that she wants all of you to turn back to. Page 981, Revelation 17, verses 1 and 2. 1 and 2, page 981 of your book of Yahweh, Revelation 17, verses 1 and 2. And there came one of the seven Malachim who had the seven bowls and talked with me, saying, come, I will show the sentence of the great whore that sits on many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, practiced idolatry, God worship, worship of Elohim. Remember, fornication is not just committing sin, sexual immorality. It is also religious apostasy. With whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, practiced idolatry, God worship, the worship of Elohim. Because part of the practice of God worship is to do those detestable things. And the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. What happened is, and things that Satan does do happen, things of Yahweh come to pass. Satan let her pride overcome her and along with her jealousy of Yahweh and eating that evil unclean food, it is destroying her. Just like Pastor said, she is sickly ill. And the prophets pointed this out. They pointed how mad she's gotten. Turn to Yekeskia, chapter 28, verses 12 through 19, on page 649 through 650. Yekeskia, 17, verses 1 through 2, on page 649, 650. Yekeskia, You were the seal of the full measure of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, sure was, getting people to fall away. The Garden of Eden, every precious stone was your covering. Remember the high priest's breastplate she had? The sardius, topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle. She's missing three. If you don't like to understand that, get the series, the stones of the high priest's breastplate. The workmanship of your settings and mountings were made of gold. In the day you were created, they were prepared for you. You were the guardian cherub. You were a teacher of righteousness, and I married you on the holy mountain of Yahweh. You walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. You were perfect in your ways from the day that you were created until iniquity, the breaking of Yahweh's law, your bitter hatred and murderous anger overcame you. By the multitude of your merchandise, they have filled the midst of you with violence, and you have sinned. Therefore, you will be cast out as profane out of the mountain of Yahweh, out of the house of Yahweh. And you will be destroyed, O guardian cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty, and you have corrupted your wisdom because of your splendor. You will be cast to the ground. You will be laid before kings, and they will look upon you. You have defiled your sanctuaries by the multitude of your iniquities and sins, and by the iniquity of your trading. Therefore, a fire will be brought from the midst of you. It will destroy you and devour you, and you will be brought to ashes upon the earth, on the earth in the sight of all who behold you. And all who know you among the people will be astonished at you. You will come to a terrifying end, and never will you exist again. And the beast was cast into the lake of fire, and so forth. Turn to Isaiah 14, verses 12 through 17, on pages 537 and 538. Page 537 and 538. How have you fallen from heaven, O Hillel, Lucifer, Aphrodite, Venus, star of the morning? How you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend above the heavens. I will raise my throne above the stars of Yahweh. I will sit in the highest place on the holy mountain of the congregation. I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. I will be like the Most High. Yet you will be brought down to the grave in the midst of the pit. Those who see you will stare at you, and they will walk about you saying, is this the one, the adversary, who shook the earth and made kingdoms tremble? Is this the one who made the world like a wilderness, who overthrew the cities in it, and who would not let the captives go free? What Satan wants is for everyone to become like her. She started eating pork, started getting sick. Misery loves company. She wants you to eat pork so you get sick. She got messed up in the head because of her pride and her bitter hatred. She wants you to be the same way. Whatever she wants to be, she wants you to be. And Satan does eat pork. Lots of it. But this is why so many in these religions, like the Christian religion, historically have fought and killed mercilessly, killed millions upon millions of innocent people. All you have to do is read about the Crusades or the Holocaust. In fact, the Crusades and the Holocaust really are one evil thing. And it was faithful Christians killing other Christians that didn't agree with them, as well as Jews, Islamics, anyone that would not do it the way they wanted, they put them to the sword if they were blessed. If they weren't blessed, they locked them in their houses and burned them to the ground. Or they tortured them by ripping their arms and legs off. They would cut their little babies open and eat them. They would do horrible things to the women. It's unspeakable things. But there was one Christian leader who spoke against this. And incidentally, he was a Roman Catholic. He was known as Angelo Roncalli, better known as Pope John the 23rd. And he saw this to be a horrible crime against humanity and said so, the only pope who ever did. In the book Vicars of Christ by Peter de Rosa, either in the introductory chapter or the first chapter, in this book, Dr. Roncalli, or Pope John the 23rd, made this statement. He said, Now, this was him speaking. He said, "The mark of Cain is on our foreheads. Through the ages we drew innocent blood. May we be forgiven, for we did not realize what we did." He died 5 years later. His successor, Paul VI, changed everything back to the way it was. Jews are bums, Christians are good, and everybody else can just make up their own minds. This is the real character and identity of Satan. You think somebody who left here is falling away? Well, how she's fallen, how far she's fallen, is unbelievable. And all because she didn't want to keep these laws of Yahweh, eat the clean foods Yahweh wanted her to eat, and to obey, be an obedient spouse to Yahweh. And because of it, she's lost everything. Even worse, practicing a religion that worships Lord God and Jesus Christ, El and Elohim, and going to church can get you killed. And I don't mean by violence or war. Like I said, some people, that unclean food gets them. It kills them. You eat pork, you get trichinosis and all other kinds of poisons. You eat shellfish, the same thing. Shrimp, you name it. All those horrible things are in your veins when you eat it, and you become like them. But that stuff can give you, open you to all kinds of horrible diseases. Cancer, this is where it more than likely started. Mad cow disease, you name it. All of these things, you wouldn't have them if you quit eating that stuff, but they won't listen. But every one of us who are here, you know we all left the ways of this world. We left eating pork. We left immorality, war, killing. We left Lord God. We left Jesus Christ, El, Elohim, Adonai. We left the healing gods and the goddesses. But some who came here left, I've seen them become even more deceived and deluded by Satan than they were before they left. And no wonder, because they have gone back eating and drinking that which is unclean, and their minds have been affected. Turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 11 and 12 on page 928. Page 928. 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 11 and 12. 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 11 and 12 on page 928. Now they're eating this unclean food, and it's getting into their brain. You do have blood going through your brain, you know. And what I'm saying is all those filthy nutrients, they call it, are going into the brain. And it caused a lot of popes, Ivan the Terrible, Joseph Stalin, Dracula, Dracul, to kill mercilessly and to kill when there's no reason. Hundreds of thousands and millions went to they died because of these people. And for this reason, Yahweh will send them a strong delusion that they believe the deception, in order that those may be judged as not having believed the truth, but having delighted in sin. The word Yahweh that is written in 2 Thessalonians 2:11 is translated from the Hebrew word Yahweh. It is a verb, and it means to come to pass. This is from page 338 of volume 1 of the Hebrew Aramaic English Dictionary by Marcus Jastrow, and it says that. The words "will send" that are written in 2 Thessalonians 2:11 are translated from the Hebrew word shalach. This word is listed on pages 669 and 670 of a complete Hebrew and English critical and pronouncing Hebrew dictionary by William L. Roy, which shows this word means gave up or received. The word "send" that is written in 2 Thessalonians 2 verse 12 is translated from the Hebrew word fasho. This word is listed on page 587 of the Student's Hebrew and Chaldee Dictionary to the Old Testament by Alexander Harkavy, which shows this word means they have transgressed against Yahweh's law. So 1 Thessalonians 2:11 and 12 is saying this, "And for this reason it came to pass that they gave themselves up to strong delusion." They ate that pork. They let it mess their minds up. And they believed the deception. And they held on to Jesus, Lord God, Church, El, Elohim, and all those, in order that they may be judged as not having believed the truth, but having delighted in transgressing against Yahweh's law. Remember? Free from the law, oh happy condition. And all this is very true. As soon as people encounter the house of Yahweh and hear what it has to say, they will soon hear the truth that the words Lord God Jesus Christ in church, El Elohim, Christos in Greek, and all these words are pagan, and worship of them is very dangerous. Most immediately reject this truth and try to justify and defend their false beliefs at this point. Many of them will even get very aggressive and try to defend their Lord, their God, their Jesus, their Christ, the El Elohim. They will get physically violent. I've seen people in the house of Yahweh get struck by some of these. For them, the more they are told the truth about this paganism, the more they will rise up against it, because that pork is making them like a wild boar. You provoke it, and all it wants to do is swing those tusks around and rip you apart. Willingly accepting any lie that can be told to them, just as the Apostle Saul warned. But even worse, there are those who came to the house of Yahweh who at one time believed these things. They were blessed by Yahweh and even taught the truth about these pagan gods and their names. But for what is always some very stupid reason, usually a rebellious wife or other family member, they don't want to correct or, if necessary, let go of these people. Some of them even were priests. They left the house of Yahweh and went back to the very paganism they left. And they went back to the very deception they once walked out of and taught against. And they literally went back to being that sow or wild boar that wallows in the mud that the Apostle Kepha and the Proverbs spoke about. But this is what they're looking forward to. Turn to Revelation 22, 18 through 19 on page 986. Page 986. Revelation 22, verses 18 and 19. Brothers and sisters, if you have a relative that doesn't believe and they keep pushing you to leave, you'd better do something about it. Because I don't think Uncle Joe or Aunt Minnie is going to give you salvation. They may think they can. I talked to a brother the other day, and he told me that he was doing a job for somebody that was a very devout member of one of the Churches of Christ denominations around here. And he said he had to go to the feast, and a man told him, well, that stuff's been nailed to the cross, so I expect you to stay and work. He said, we've got to go. We're required by our Father to go. The man didn't waver. The man insisted he do it. And he said, I can't go. I can do this work when we come back, if you can delay. And he begged him to please delay. The man wouldn't. He said, well, you just lost your job here. And told him to leave, which they did. But this man thinks he is going to enter into heaven and float around playing a harp or a broken guitar or whatever it is. But they got another rude awakening. We're at Revelation 22, 18 and 19. For I testify everyone who hears the word of the prophecy of this book, if any man will add to these things, Yahweh will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. If you're sick, you're going to get sicker. If you're dying, you're going to be dead. And if any man will take away from the word of this book, of this prophecy, Yahweh will take away his part out of the book of life. No salvation for you. And out of the holy city, Yahweh Shema, and from the things which are written in this book. The thing about it, when somebody leaves the house of Yahweh because a relative, a wife, a husband, whatever, pushes them to do it like that, they're giving up everything they ever had that meant anything. Because what out there compares to salvation and eternal life? Is there enough money to buy that? But they gave it all up. This is why Yahshua said, pray for them in Matthew chapter 5. Pray for them. The reason they're not going to be accepted is because there's a law of Yahweh says, in Yahweh Shema, this is what it's going to be. Turn to Deuteronomy 23, verse 14 on page 165. Deuteronomy 23, verse 14 on page 165. Page 165. This is why whoever comes in there and doesn't have that right kind of garment are that right kind of character and has shown that they serve Yahweh to the death if necessary, won't have a place. For Yahweh your Father moves about in the midst of your camp to protect you and to give your enemies over to you. Therefore, your camp must be holy, so he may see no unclean thing among you and turn away from you. Yahweh Shammah is going to be the holiest place of the holies ever. And Yahweh is going to be there to talk to you. First Yochanan 3 verses 1 and 2 says he'll shake hands with you, or at least he will be there for you to see, and you won't fall dead or freaked out, because when that occurs, you will know you have become just like him. Pages 945 and 946 in your book of Yahweh. Hebrews 6, verses 4 through 6. For it is impossible for those who have once been enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and become partakers of the Holy Spirit and the righteous, having come to know what is spoken by Yahweh through the law and the prophets, the power of Yahweh in the world to come. If they shall fall away, it is impossible for them to be renewed to repentance again. They have rejected the Son and alienated from Yahweh. One word. The word is Holy Spirit. The Hebrew word is ruach. A Hebrew and Chaldean lexicon to the Old Testament, Julius Furst, says this word means the word of Yahweh. So what it is saying is basically, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and have become partakers of the word of Yahweh and believing it, and the righteous, and having come to know what is spoken by Yahweh through the law and the prophets, the power of Yahweh in the world to come. If they shall fall away, it is impossible to be renewed to repentance again. They have rejected the Son of Yahweh and therefore are alienated from Yahweh. Yahweh tells you to get away from the people like this and have nothing to do with them and their satanic practices. If they won't accept it after two or three tries to talk to them, start breaking away. Get away from them. It's not worth it. Or you will be dragged back into the very satanic practices you once did yourself to your own destruction. Revelation 18 verse 4. Turn to Revelation 18 verse 4. Revelation 18 verse 4. Revelation 18 verse 4. Starting with, it'll be 4 and 5. 4 and 5, but 5 is just a short little verse. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of them, my people, so that you do not partake in their sins. You have a relative, a wife, a husband, a son, a daughter, whatever, that's going against these things. If they want to leave, let them go. I didn't say it's going to be easy. It hurts. I know. I've been there. And so that you do not partake of their plagues or receive their plagues. For their sins have reached unto heaven, and Yahweh has remembered their breaking his law. He's not going to forget. Turn to Titus 3 verse 10 real quick. Titus 3 verse 10. We've got two more scriptures after it and we can close. Titus 3 verse 10. A man or woman who is a heretic at the first and second admonition or warning, reject, knowing that he or she who is such is subverted, has turned away from Yahweh and breaks his law, being condemned by himself or herself. By their fruits you shall know them. I said, no one said this is easy. Many of us have gone through this. Some of us more than once. But you remember, David was crying over his son Absalom, who rebelled against him. But when his general Yahab explained to him that he had to do what he had to do, David listened and did the right thing. Because Yahshua said, this is what is the point of the matter. On Matthew 10, verse 37, on page 982. Matthew 10, verse 37. He who loves his brother or mother by extension, his wife more than me, is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me, or by extension, she who loves her husband more than me is not worthy of me. And David had to know this truth because Yahshua, who was to come, was his descendant. And David knew the law, which said in Psalm 19:7-10, the laws of Yahweh are perfect, converting the whole person. But Yahshua said, if you have to go through losing somebody like that, if you have the strength to do it, if you take a stand and you have a strong backbone toward it, and you hold on, he made you this promise, and this is where we're going to close. He made you this promise. Page 747. I hit the right, it should have been 782 for that other one. I just hit the wrong number. Matthew 9, verse 29 on page 747. Page 747. 747. Matthew 10:37 was the one that I got the wrote the wrong number. But page 747, Matthew 9:29. Listen to what Yahshua promises you if you have to make this decision. If you stand for Yahweh against Elohim, Lord God, Adonai, El Shaddai, Church, Jesus, Christ, whatever. Even if it's one of your own family that's pushing you not to. And this person leaves, or you have to leave, or whatever occurs. Yahshua said, this is what you're going to get. And everyone who has forsaken houses, brothers, sisters, father, mother, children, by extension, husbands, wives, or lands for my name's sake, will receive 100-fold and will inherit eternal life. Trust in Yahweh. If you lose somebody or something, Yahweh will not forget it. And you're the one that's going to end up with something 100 times better. So forget El, Elohim, Lord, God, Jesus, Christ, Church, Adonai, El Shaddai, and the rest of them. Hang on to Yahweh with everything. And hang on. And if you're married to someone, hang on to them, especially if they're trying to serve Yahweh like you're doing. May Yahweh bless your understanding. And I turn the services over to closing prayer.